And that's why the way we are the way we are. Hi, buddy.
Hi, Bob.
Good evening.
Hello, Bob.
I just turned on the tape recorder after a long conversation about family and and you don't want to know.
We learned a lot.
Yes, we did.
Say everything you is crystal, crystal clear.
We've come to an understanding.
Yeah,
that's right.
Hi. So this is Night Whatever. And introduce everybody. Don't they know us by now? This is our, the fourth podcast. We took Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. This is Friday's podcast. I'm here with Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton, Katie Presley.
Hi.
Hello, and I'm Bob Boylan. And
sorry about the rain, friends.
Sorry about the rain. You own this city.
It got dirty. I got sick of the hipsters. I asked for some rain.
Shoo, all of you, and take a bath.
There's asking for rain and there's summoning rain.
I did disappear for a long stretch in the middle of today. Who knows? The rituals are.
We've never seen the rain and Katie together at the same time. So.
It's true.
Yeah. I was going to say damper without any intention of pun, but... running around as much, I wound up staying in one place for a bunch. So I Tori's for a second time, and I don't regret that happened.
Likewise, I was there. I saw her for a second time, and she's someone I was thinking as we were watching Tori's play. I thought she is someone who is. I could see at some point releasing like a landmark record. Right. You know, like a record that people will be talking about for many, many years after. And the new record's great that we have coming up, but I see her potential as.
Yeah, the trajectory she's on is unbelievable.
I let in on a little quick secret, which is tomorrow night she will be the person who puts us all to sleep.
And I will
in a good way. In a good way. Not in a veterinary
lovingly
way.
And not.
Robin, turn on Meerkat.
Oh yeah, I will miss it. I won't be on tomorrow's podcast. I had to cut this year's trip short.
So we now have two amazing selling points.
Robin won't be on. Right.
Oh jeez.
And we have Torres of the South by Lullaby. So I will say, since I'm not going to be here, please, all of you, go see Howard here at the church tomorrow. I think they play like around 8 o'clock tomorrow night. I can't
Howard
make it.
Howard is a band.
Howard is a band.
Not a person or a university. Yeah.
Howard is impossible, absolutely impossible to search for on the internet. It's like you have to search for
you type in
Howard.
No, you type Howard band.
That doesn't do it. You have to do Howard band religion, which is the name of their record, and Brooklyn, which is where they're from. And then
really
you can get it.
Anything less than that and you don't get it? Wow.
I saw them today, and I'm so glad that I was able to catch him before they left, before I leave. Howard Feibusch is the lead singer of the band. He was raised Orthodox Jew. He'd never heard secular music before he was 18 years old. He went away to college and he studied music, and he's like, okay, so this is like, he studies Bruce Springsteen, right? This is how this music is made, and this is how this music is made. And now he's making his own music, and it is just, well, we had the song Falling.
Yeah.
What was that? The Austin 100.
Thank you.
Yes,
we've
had him on the show.
It feels obscene.
I know. I had a stopwatch going. This was the longest it took.
Yeah.
To say those words.
Yeah. Austin 100. Yeah. Howard. Anyway, yes, a band, just fantastic mix of electronics and acoustic instruments.
And they're here at St. David's?
They will be tomorrow, yes. Today was all about making dreams come true more than discovery for me. I saw all the bands I saw today were bands I already knew and loved but hadn't necessarily seen before, except for Sunlux, which I have seen before. And I will say, I saw them for a second time today. I started my day with Sunlux, and I've decided they are the world's most lethal band. They are just lethal. My God, their drummer... Ian
Chang, best drummer on planet.
I just got goosebumps just when you said his name. Just a sick, sick drummer.
Ian Chang.
Yeah, and then, it's happening again. and his guitarist, and of course, Ryan Lott. What a phenomenal band. And then saw Natalie Press after that. She is wonderful. She's sort of this hybrid of Joni Mitchell and Kate Bush.
Yeah, she's exciting.
And even sort of the Beatles and a lot of her chord progressions and everything. Really loved her.
I highly recommend her music videos too. She's always got really great video concepts.
Yeah, we premiered one of the ones. Why don't you believe
that
in
one's
me?
So great.
Which is so cool.
Good job, NPR.
And then the last person I'll mention, I just saw Andy Schaaf. We talked about him on the preview show. He was out at this coffee shop. And
you ask him to sing a song.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Yeah, he was performing. The stage was maybe 10 feet away from the bar where they're fixing drinks. And I'm thinking, I'm really lagging. I can could use a cappuccino, so I ordered a cappuccino, and it was just him and his guitar. And so in the middle of his second song here,
oh, you're an idiot. Yeah.
When they were like, when they came out and brought the cappuccino, I just sort of looked around like, no, somebody in, who ordered a cappuccino? Was that, and someone in the audience at some point said, can we have no more lattes, please? But it was a great set. Oh, that guy, Andy Schauf, spend some time with him and his record.
I'm going later.
Yeah. And then we're recording a little earlier tonight, so after the podcast, I hope to still go see Tanya Tagaq, which we spoke about yesterday.
There are two experiences I wanted to mention today because I think they encapsulate the South By experience. First of all, in order to look, you can see what happened to my schedule in the rain today.
That's what happens when you go analog and write everything with a ballpoint pen on a piece of paper.
For the people at home, there's a piece of paper that is kind of a light blue smear that used to be ink.
It's really just like a piece of fabric.
It's just not, yeah.
So the first South By moment I had, I was seeing Christina Valentina on the 18th floor of the Hilton Garden Inn, which is a really, it's a beautiful little space. There's great sound, but it's really unforgiving to any life circumstances, any phones, any like sneezing, any breathing heavily. And halfway through, she's kind of a BT Dubs. She's kind of a Mariah, she's got a Mariah Carey kind of R&B pop vocal, really powerful. Her mic cut out in the middle of like mid-belt, and but she finished the note and she just kind of kept singing and she kind of pulled the mic away from her face like no big deal, and then she brought it back and it wasn't on and wasn't on, and suddenly it came back on the next big note, and I would have thought she planned it because the timing was so great, except how startled she looked when it failed.
She drops the mic.
Right. So that happens a lot. It's we talk a lot about this festival being hard on us and on our feet and stuff. Right. It's also a lot for a musician and band running around.
Who often don't get to do line checks. And
yeah, exactly.
This is hard. This is really hard.
Well, and the other thing is you see people wheeling carts of equipment up hills and streets and alleys and
Austin
everywhere.
Is the only city I know that has parking signs that say musician loading only. Along 6th Street. I've never seen that before. The other experience that I had was right before I met y'all here. I was in Maggie Mae's seeing Summer Cannibals, which is kind of a grungy rock band. And this guy, I think I need to actually demonstrate. And what's going to happen is I'm going to have to step away to do it, and you'll just have to, your
imagine.
Reactions.
No one's getting hurt, are they?
Maybe is the thing, is part of the story. Your reactions and your descriptions will have to tell the audience what's happening. So this guy, they're kind of more of a mosh pit starts than you would expect for this band. This guy was somebody's father 2 minutes ago. He rips off his shirt. There are probably 15
people
in the room.
She's not ripping off her shirt.
Rips off his shirt, and then he starts doing this amazing kung fu dance move. It's just like...
Oh my god.
Single hop
bouncing on one leg and kicking the other in the air.
We need to get a vine of that.
Yeah. It was amazing and supremely embarrassing for him, and I can attest that everybody else in the room took some kind of social media capture of it. So he will know about that tomorrow. He is certainly not feeling it tonight. But Summer Cannibals is great.
He'll feel that when he wakes up in the morning. Yeah. And everything's stiff and
because his three kids woke him up because he's like, somebody's dad. Yeah.
Summer Cannibals, also in the Austin 100.
We talked about how great yesterday was, how perfect it was for everybody. Everything clicked. This morning, I woke up and realized my first show was at noon. It was Family Crest, who I'd seen before many times, in fact, and I dearly, dearly love. And afterward was going to be Chadwick Stokes, who I've never seen on a stage. He's played Tiny Desk, and that Tiny Desk concert will come up soon. And I ran down to the other end of town, which is Rainy Street, where there's not a lot of choices down there, but there's some good ones. And it was a place where it was a private party, and it was not Family Crest, and it was not Chadwick Stokes. And I'm all the way down the other end. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go to another show way at the other end of town. And I start walking up by the Swan Dive. And as I'm walking by the Swan Dive, I hear the Family Crest playing. And there they were. And I walked in the door.
And they just stopped, and everyone was staring at you.
And they said, thank you very much.
How did they find us?
It was a perfect moment. And then later, at the same place, saw Chadwick Stokes, who was wonderful to see. Though I must say, the orchestration on his album is what brings it to the next level. So if you get a chance to hear Chadwick Stokes, we did a Song and All Songs Considered, that was great.
He had a full band with him?
He did not. It was just him alone. Even the Tiny Desk had two other people when that comes out. Walked up the street and saw a band called Juice, I think you all mentioned, J-U-C-E. It is fun funk, that's all I can say. Really, really good funk.
Nice. I saw I went to Japan Night right when it started, and saw a band, and Robin knows some Japanese and was trying to help me with the pronunciation on this.
You move your lips and he'll speak.
Yeah, Mahusyujo ni Naritai?
Yeah. Naritai.
Which we worked on the translation, and we believe means something along the lines of, not an exact translation.
Not in the Austin 100.
And not in the Austin 100.
Translates as. That's the translation.
Yes, the translation is not in the Austin 100, which you can download. Okay. Translates roughly to, I want to become a magical girl. And at one point, there's a...
I will say the only part I know is the I want to become part. I don't know
and
the
And I believe, like, there was
magical girls for my benefit, thank you.
But there were a whole bunch of, there was a whole bunch of animation behind them. At one point, there were all these flashing images of people whose heads were broccoli. And then there were all these words behind
Chris
them.
Steven.
And at one point they
yes.
start.
Well,
and
I, broccoli head.
I think I texted Katie at one point, like, I'm either seeing this bizarre band or having a stroke.
Were you smelling maple syrup at the
yeah,
same time?
Yeah, I could smell. Yeah. I smelled a little bit of toast. But at one point there was this image behind them about like freeing one of its members from a witch's curse. And anyway, it was bizarre, and it was kind of this electric. It was kind of electropop, but also metal. Very, very strange. And I remember thinking, like, this is one of the reasons that you go to South by Southwest, is these bands come from all over the world, and you're going to see something, you hope to see something that is unlike anything you've ever seen before. The other takeaway from today was my quintessential South by Southwest experience was walking in to see Moonhoney, a band you guys have played on whatever your show is called.
Right, the Austin 100.
And they're also on the Austin 100. I came in and they weren't playing, and I came in like 8:30 and they were supposed to start at 8, and I was trying to breeze in to catch like the last couple songs. And I leaned over to somebody and said, oh my God, did I miss them? Because I hear this faint squall, and I'm like, that must be, they must have ended with a song like that's feeding back. And it turns out that what had happened was they hadn't started playing yet because their fog machine had set off the fire alarm.
Oh my God.
And the fire alarm somehow blew out their synthesizer.
No.
And so there was just this...
Oh, like they popped a fuse or something.
Yeah, and so already coming in, I had to walk past this gigantic mechanical bull to get to this throng of people, to get into this back room where this performance had happened, where all this had unfolded. Oh. And little South by Southwest magic, like about 2 minutes after I came in, they explained, oh, you know, we blew a fuse, and then it just worked.
Just worked.
Saw a few songs, came over here to you nice people.
I was at a street festival once where this band had put these troughs all around the stage and filled them with gasoline for a fire for pyro, you know, some effects. But they hadn't leveled everything, so all the gasoline had pooled down, had run and pooled down to the front of the stage. So when they like lit it, there's just this big burst of flame right in the middle of this
column
in front of the stage. Yeah, it's a column of fire. It was supposed to be like this ring of fire around this stage.
It's just a bad idea in every way.
Well, I mean, you got to figure that whoever figured it, it was a bad idea, and whoever executed it was the same person who thought of the idea, so how could it possibly have worked, right?
Boy.
The level of whatever. Yeah. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Well, the night is a bit young, but Laura Marling, who just played here at St. David's Episcopal Church, one of what would you call it? The moments here are some of the most memorable. You called it a sanctuary. Truly.
Literally. In the truest sense.
In the truest sense. And she played a stunning set of new songs that rock a little more than her older stuff. And that was just fine with me because the words and the music matched so well.
Yeah.
But she's coming here just with her acoustic guitar. And she's going to lull us. So.
Tuck us in for the night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Laura Marling.
Thanks, Laura. Yay. Thanks.
Thanks, guys and gal.
Yep.
We're gonna miss you.
I know. I'll miss you guys too.
That's right.
Let's keep sending them notes, make them really feel jealous tomorrow. Okay. Yeah.
My wife. Who's texting?
Safe travels.
Thanks.
Night, friends.
Bye, bye.
Night.
So, let's say thanks for doing a lullaby for us and putting our weary feet and eyeballs and ears to bed. It's been quite a long day, so thank you. What are you going to sing for us?
Walk Alone. Fine without